It's Central Time. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up at Central Time, we'll hear how one Wisconsin town got together to write a novel.
First, some documents related to Wisconsin's John Doe investigation were mistakenly released on Friday afternoon. The documents show what critics are calling a secret fundraising operation involving Governor Scott Walker.
Here to join us about what's in the documents and what we can glean from them is Ken Mayer, professor of political science at UW-Madison. Ken, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so we see these documents out, at least for a little while this weekend, showing what appeared to be a secret fundraising operation or a previously undisclosed fundraising. What did we find out in these documents?
What they showed is that there was a significant effort on behalf of the governor and his people to raise money for the Club for Growth, which is the group at the center of the John Doe investigation, or this part of it. The issue, as far as the prosecutors are concerned, is that they are claiming that that effort constituted coordination, which would make those efforts and the spending of Club for Growth a campaign contribution. And so what they're arguing is that efforts to steer contributions through the Club for Growth by Walker constituted illegal coordination in an effort to circumvent contribution limits and disclosure.
And response has been predictably divided. Democrats saying this amounts to close to a smoking gun proving illegal coordination. Supporters of the governor saying this is free speech. The governor can suggest to people that they donate money wherever they want. It's not really coordination. How do we define coordination? How does this all fit into that concept?
The difficulty is that the definition of coordination is ambiguous. Mm-hmm. And so what we're in a gray area here, because it is true that elected officials, even people who are campaigning, are permitted to raise money for outside groups. The issue comes in when those expenditures or the efforts of those groups are coordinated with the campaign, which would make them a contribution to the campaign. The GAB, the Government Accountability Board, defines coordination as expenditures that are made upon the request by or in consultation with a candidate or a candidate's agents. But that's ambiguous, and it turns out that efforts to show coordination, it's very difficult to do that, because unless there is a completely explicit agreement between a campaign or a candidate and an outside group, you have to draw inferences. And in this case, there is an additional ambiguity, because the Club for Growth, the attorneys for the Club for Growth, are arguing that since they were making issue ads, that they weren't actually engaged in express advocacy, advocating clearly the election or defeat of the governor, that those don't count as campaign ads. And that would be a novel theory that would open the door to even more independent spending. And really, the crux of the issue is whether the involvement of the governor with the Club for Growth is sufficient to constitute a legal finding of coordination, and whether the activities of the Club for Growth, because they were, in their view, issue ads, whether it is even possible to have coordination with the group that is making those kinds of expenditures. And one of the things that should be clear from the fits and starts of this investigation and the controversy surrounding it is that the answers are not clear, at least from a legal standpoint.
So one thing from what you're saying, what is clear is that it's not illegal if the governor went to Donald Trump, I think was one of the names on the list, and said, hey, you ought to donate money to Club for Growth. If it stops there, that's completely legal?
Right, and that's correct. The issue then becomes, was there coordination between the governor's campaign and Club for Growth in terms of message? And the emails that were released are suggestive, but they are not conclusive. If they were, I think we would have already seen some results of the investigation. And obviously, the prosecutors are alleging one interpretation. The Club for Growth and the governor are insisting on another interpretation. But we are getting to the point where the specific legal question becomes less important than the political fallout, that we are a couple of months away from the election. There's going to be continued appeals and involvement before the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. And no matter what happens with the legal investigation, at this point, it presents certainly a headache for the Walker campaign, given how close the race now appears to be.
Well, let's follow up that point, that whether or not it's illegal, that whole appearance of impropriety, I guess, would be the issue. One of the things that came out in the papers this weekend, Gogebic Taconite donating $700,000 to the Club for Growth, not long before, I gather, a big piece of mining legislation reducing regulations for an iron mine in northern Wisconsin came through. Democrats are saying, hey, this is pay to play. You got a big donation, you get a law passed. Does it look that way, or is this something that the governor would have signed off on anyway, donation or no?
Well, the answer is that it's probably both are true. It certainly confirms what a lot of people insist is true about the political process. In fact, the Senate Minority Leader Chris Larson was flat out said this looks like outright bribery. And then the governor's people responds that he was not aware that the contribution was made, and it's not a surprise that a pro-business, pro-growth governor would have signed this legislation. And so we're back to the issue of it certainly doesn't look good, and it presents a political problem, because there's an old maxim in politics that when you're explaining, you're losing. And the news coverage in the last 3 or 4 days has been the governor and the governor's people and lawyers for Club for Growth explaining what was happening, that it's not a big deal and that doesn't constitute illegal or improper behavior. And that alone suggests that at least temporarily, the dynamic of the campaign of the race has shifted to this, and that can't work in the governor's favor.
That said, while he is on the defensive a little bit now, come Election Day, is this something that's going to change the minds of the elusive undecided voter in this state?
That's very hard to say. The answer is probably it's possible. But the other issue is that there aren't that many undecided voters in the state, that Walker remains a highly polarizing figure. Most Republicans are extremely fond of him. Most Democrats are just as extremely, they dislike him. And so if you're a Republican who's a supporter or a Democrat who's an opponent, you are going to interpret this through the lens of that support. Walker's people are arguing that this is a political vendetta by biased prosecutors, and Democrats will say, we told you all along. The issue comes that in a race that's very close, as this probably will be, it doesn't take a swing of 5 or 7 percentage points of the electorate to swing the election. It could come down to a relatively small number of people changing their mind, or additional Democrats coming out, or some marginal Republicans staying home. I think certainly all other things being equal, the governor would prefer not to have to deal with this at this point.
Back to the legal side of things, the John Doe investigation, John Doe 2, technically is on hold right now, thanks to an order from a judge, but there's a federal court that might bring it back into action. Do you have any idea? Do we have any idea when we might hear something about that? Is it going to be right before Election Day or right after?
Well, I've seen some reports. I haven't actually seen the schedule for the Seventh Circuit, but I think the Journal Sentinel reported that there is going to be an initial hearing next month in September. And I think it's very difficult to tell when the Seventh Circuit would actually issue his opinion. My guess is that I would seriously doubt that we would see an opinion one way or the other before the election, in part because if you're a federal judge, you are going to be cautious about making a decision, I think, in the heat of a campaign when you don't really have to, but that gets into deeper issues about the nature of judicial decision making. But the fact that this hearing is going to happen in September, which is going to generate news coverage, all of that is going to keep this in the public eye during the campaign.
Turning to the bigger issue of money in politics, Republican State Senator Dale Schultz, whose own mining legislation was superseded by what actually passed, he said regarding this news, the quality of public policy making in Wisconsin has changed, he's arguing, since big money came to the state. Is that true? Has big money changed the way politics gets done here?
Well, that depends on what your view of the policies is. Certainly, it seems in the last decade or so that we've seen a significant increase in outside spending with independent groups coming in, and a lot of people will view that through the lens of the Republican sweep in 2010 and attribute that sweep to that outside money, and I think that's a little too simplistic. But at a time when people are already frequently disillusioned about the political process and feel that they don't have a voice, stories like this, when we're talking about hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars coming in from a single or small number of contributors, it certainly confirms the disillusionment that a lot of people feel about politics, even if it's more difficult to draw a direct link between those contributions and the outcomes. But that's a longer debate.
Ken, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Anytime.
That was Ken Mayer, professor of political science at UW-Madison.